You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining tonight's Shir, the halachas of snacking in and out of a sukkah. I guarantee you that you're going to learn some new halachas that you never knew before, even if you're holding the sugya of yeshiva sukkah. Some of them will be chumras, but I guarantee you'll have some kulas as far as eating out outside of a sukkah for little snacks of different types. And we'll talk about all the different cases of what you can eat in and out of a sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, is not where you think I would start, because it doesn't really talk about yeshiva's sukkah whatsoever, as far as what you're allowed to eat, what you're not allowed to eat. The Gemara on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph is talking about how many sudas yontif does a person have to have sum total. Rabbi Yezer Omer, Arba Esrei Sudas Chayv Adam Lachol B'Sukkah, Achas B'Yom V'Achas B'Layla. There's a mitzvah to have two sudas every day of Sukkahs, every night and every daytime, to have a suda. What happens if you miss the first night? Well, if you'd have asked me, if you miss the first night of Sukkot, well, you lost the mitzvah sukkah, right? Misha lo achal leila yom tov harishon, yashlim leila yom tov haachron shalchag. Let me highlight that on your screen so you can see where I am. If you missed eating in the sukkah the first night, don't worry. On Shmini Atzeres, Lel Shmini Atzeres, right? After Sukkot is over, presumably, in Eretz Yisrael, on Lel Shmini Atzeres, you should eat in the sukkah. You hear that? And that will be a tikkun, the Gemara says, that will fix you having not eaten in the sukkah the first night. Ask the Gemara, what exactly do you do to fix that loss of the first night that you missed? Mashlim b'may, asks the Gemara. Elim b'rifta, if you're going to have bread on Lel Shmini Atzeres, and that's how you're going to fix your first night suda, well, that doesn't fix your suda that you missed for the first night. Guess what? That's the suda of Shmini Atzeres. You didn't accomplish anything as tashlumin, because you have to have bread on Lel Shmini Atzeres. It's Yom Tif, and that's suda d'yomei ka'achil. You're just eating the sukkah of the day, the meal of the day, the Shmini Atzeres night meal. So what does it mean that you should eat something on the last night of Sukkot to be mitakein, to fulfill what you should have had on the first night of Sukkot? Concludes the Gemara, Yashlim v'mine targuma. Have a special dessert. Oh, if you have a special dessert on Shmini Atzeres, that's going to fix not having the mitzvah on the first night of Sukkot. So let's say, for example, the first night, obviously if you're in a situation on Anus, a person's, God forbid, in the hospital, they don't make it the first night of Sukkot. Or even if it's a more common case, let's say it's just raining all night, the first night of Sukkot. So you're not Yotzei the first night of Sukkot sitting in a sukkah. What could you do? You wait till Lel Shmini Atzeres and you have a special dessert. And that dessert that you have, says the Gemara on the first night of Shmini Atzeres, let's see, what does Mine Targima mean? What kind of things should you have for dessert? Says Rashi, I'll tell you with this word, Targima. It's an unusual word, it's not a Hebrew word. What's this word, Targima? Says Rashi, La'acha Shesilek, after you clear the table off, otherwise known as dessert, Yaviu Parparaos, right? We know that word from Mishnayos Pirkei Avos, that Gematrios are parparos l'chachma, you know, like delicacies. Uma adanim l'fanav, and sweet things in front of him. What are examples of like these desserts that you should bring that will be a tikkun for having missed out on the first night of Yeshiva Sukkah? Could go on peros, we know what peros are. V'kisnin, okay, that's, let's assume those are, not berekas, but let's assume they're like apple strudels or apple turnovers or some Napoleons, you know, mizonos, things that have little pockets and mini pies. Kaplutos, we love kaplutos, not really sure what kaplutos are, but Bushal is that cooked. Okay, so basically the Gemara is telling us you have dessert. What does that have to do with us when we're talking about what do you eat in the sukkah? You'll see in the end of the following Beis Yosef. But what we did just now seemingly has nothing to do with snacking in or out of a sukkah. It was just telling you what to do when you missed the first night of sukkah, so you should have Mine Tagima desserts on Lel Shmini Atzeres. Okay, leave that aside. We're going to come back to that in about 3 minutes. Let's look at the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is actually talking about the halachas of Yeshiva Sukkah. What do you have to eat in a sukkah? What do you not have to eat? So the Beis Yosef is going to bring three suggestions, three opinions of the Amoraim, of the Rishonim. What do you have to eat in a sukkah? What does not have to be eaten in a sukkah? Because it's only an achilas arai. So first, the Beis Yosef says, "Have a peri lo bo sukkah. Fruits, you don't have to eat fruits in a sukkah. Why? Because we learned in the Gemara in Yuma, dekeva didhu kachilas arai depas. We know that if you're having bread, you don't have to eat bread in a sukkah. If it's a small amount, it's an achilas arai. Well, guess what? If you have a fruit salad the size of a watermelon, if you eat an entire watermelon, halachically that's considered like an achilas arai of pas. So if you have an achilas keva of pas, right, a little bit more of a kebet than a kebetza of pas, then you have to eat it in the sukkah. But if you have an achilas arai of bread, like only a kezias or a kezias and a half, that's not chayav to be eaten in a sukkah. Well, if you have all the fruit in the world, that's not going to be any more than achilas arai of pas. That's the first opinion. Therefore, you can have all the fruit salad you want. You could have gallons and gallons of fruit salad. It will never be more than an achilas arai of pas, and that will be permitted. Fine. That's the first opinion. Then the Beis Yosef brings a second opinion. Rabbeinu Meir in the Tashbeis. He held that fruit cannot be eaten outside of a sukkah. Fruit also must be eaten in a sukkah. Why? Explains the Tashbeis. There's an opinion that holds that fruits do need a sukkah. But he says, even if you hold like this more stringent opinion that fruits do need to be eaten in a sukkah, that's only if you are koveya on those fruits. Hayinu kishu koveya atzmal achilas peros. Why? Because apparently if you settle yourself, if you're going to have sometimes people in the city, you see they buy those cut up fruit salads for that's their lunch. You spend $11 or $12 on a little container of cut sliced pineapple and sliced watermelon, and that's your lunch. If you're on a diet, it's a great lunch. If you're running through the city, you have it prepared, all cut up for you. So if that's going to be your lunch, then that does have to be eaten in the sukkah, according to this opinion of Rabbi Meir, according to Beis Yosef. Why? Because he holds that if you koveya on fruit, then it is something that would require a sukkah. But of course, it's an achilas araya fruit. If you're just having an apple, a pear, a peach, just as a snack, then even this more stringent opinion would agree you don't have to eat it in a sukkah. So that's the two opinions. The first opinion says fruits never need a sukkah. Second opinion says fruits only need a sukkah if you are koveya on them. Let's now see the third opinion. Because it's going to be not like the first two, but not like how we pass Ganit. Rabbeinu Peretz Kasav, Davka Peri Lobai Sukkah. The only things that don't need a sukkah, no matter how much you have, that's fruits. Aval Basar Ugvina Barmi Peri. But if you have something more substantial, this sounds a little bit more like our meals. Basar Ugvina, you're having chicken, you're having a grilled chicken salad, you're having a cheese platter. You're having cottage cheese and yogurt with a banana, with a sliced banana. That's going to be your lunch. That needs a sukkah because that's more significant. Where does he get that it's more significant? Now, gentlemen, let's go back to this Gemara that we started with. You remember we started with the question of what happens if you miss the first night of sukkahs? And the Gemara said, if you miss the first night of sukkahs, on the Leil Shemini Atzeres, what should you eat? You should eat Minei Targima. Well, let's pause. Time out. What does it mean that you should eat mini tagima on the last night of sukkahs, and that will fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah you did on the first night? Presumably, that means this is a kind of food. You eat something now that you should have had to eat on the sukkah, and this will be mitake, that which you didn't eat it in the sukkah. So obviously, whatever mini tagima is going to mean that you're going to eat on this last night of sukkahs has to be food that could have been required to be eaten in the sukkah. So if it says that the way to be mitakein, missing out the first night of yeshiva sukkah is with minei targima, it must be that minei targima are something that is chayv in a sukkah. What is minei targima? We saw what Rashi said. Rashi said minei targima are delicacies like fruits and pasta bekistin and kaplutos. Leave Rashi aside for now. Let's jump back to the Beis Yosef where we're holding. And Rabbeinu Peretz says, fruits don't need a sukkah. But you know what needs a sukkah? Basar ugvina. Why? Because he quotes our Gemara. If you have some, if you mash them, your missed night of this first night of sukkah is with minei tagima. What is minei tagima? Says the Rabbeinu Peretz. Minei tagima hainu baser v'chayotzei bo. It's something that's more substantial. So lo kaperish Rashi who says that minei tagima is fruits, because fruits of course don't need a sukkah, and therefore fruits do not need a sukkah. How in the world could you use it to be mashlim, missing out on sitting in a sukkah? So therefore Rabbeinu Peretz says that Gemara he argues on Rashi in 2 points. Well, on 1 point. He says, on 2 points. First of all, he says, that which you're mashing on the last night of sukkah is to fix the first night that you missed, first of all, it has to be something that would be obligated in sukkah. Otherwise, you're not being mashed from anything. And secondly, he says, the word targima means fruit. Basar, gvina. And therefore, we have now a third opinion. So the first opinion said, fruits do need. The second opinion said, fruits need if you koveya on them. The third opinion says, basar and gvina needs, because that's the mini targima, which is considered a fulfillment of the missed night of sukkah. So we now have three opinions. And guess what? We don't pass like any of these rabbis say. Fine. Let's now go to yet a fourth opinion. There's a Tosefta. And the Tosefta is talking not about sukkahs, but about Hilchos Brachos. And guess what? It uses a word that we encountered once before, and it defines this word, not like any of the explanations we've seen thus far. Until now, we saw the word minei targima. Rashi explained it. Rashi and the Bavli explained targima to mean fruits. It means dessert, any dessert. It could be fruits. It could be cake. Then we saw this last opinion of Rabbeinu Peretz say that targima means basar v'gvina. But now we're going to have an explicit tosefta that the Beis Yosef cites. Look at what I have on the screen. Hevi'o lefanav minei targima, mevarech aleha borei minei mezonos. What do you see? You see that minei targima are mezonos. Wow. It's something that you make a mezonos on. That's the definition of targima. If that's the case, so what did the Gemara mean when it said on the last night of Sukkot, you should have mini targima as a tashlumen for missing the first night? It means you should have cake on the last night. You should have some kind of cake, or possibly a kisnin, or a strudel, or something like that. that will be a tikkun for the first night. Why? I mean, then it makes sense because cake is something you have to eat in the sukkah, presumably. It's chamesh is minei dagon, it's mizanos. And therefore, if that's the case, what do you have to eat in the sukkah? Well, all we see is minei tagima. The Asher concludes the Beis Yosef that that's more chashuv than basar and gvina. Basar and gvina maybe don't need, but only cake, mizanos, needs to be eaten in a sukkah. And therefore, we have four opinions. This last opinion is indeed the opinion like we that we follow. Now, based on what we just said, I'm going to come out with a fascinating insight that I bet you've had this Shiloh without even realizing it. Okay, so Rabosa, you're going on a trip on Chol HaMoed. This year, it's 4 days of straight Chol HaMoed. You're going to do lots of trips, and you're not going to, a lot of places are closed. There's going to be lots of hikes, right? You're not going to museums and to amusement parks because those are COVID concerning. So you're going to go hiking, you're going to go boating maybe, and you're going to pack food with you. And when you go to the amusement park, they have a sukkah there. But now you're not going to amusement parks. You're not going to museums. You're not going to the city. You're going out to the wild wilderness where there aren't any sukkahs. So you're going to pack foods with you that you could eat in the wild wilderness. You'll pack some cheese. You'll pack some fruits. You'll pack some. I have a great idea. How about packing some rice cakes? Rice cakes are really good. You could put some a slice of cheese on a rice cake. You could put peanut butter on a rice cake. You could put jelly on a rice cake. You could put cream cheese on a rice cake. You could eat a rice cake plain. And this way, it's a little bit filling, a little bit nourishing. It's it's a great snack in the car. You don't want to give out cookies in the car, but you can give something that's a little bit filling. So based on what we said, what do you say? What about rice cakes? Is rice cakes one of the chameshes minei dagon? Absolutely not. It's not one of the five grains. The five grains we know are chita saora, kusman, shibala shual, and whatever the fifth one is, I forgot. It's not oats, barley, spelt, rye, wheat. Rice is not none of those.
Milk.
Are you allowed to have a rice cake outside of the sukkah? So let's think for a second. Until now, until today, until tonight, I always thought you could have rice cakes outside of the sukkah because rice cakes are not one of the five grains. But now that you see this last opinion in the Beis Yosef, who quotes the Tosefta, and what does he say? Look at how the Tosefta phrases itself. Mine tagima, which is, as we said earlier in the opening Gemara in sukkah, mine tagima is a food that is somehow going to be a tikkun for what you missed the first night. So it's a food that you have to eat on a sukkah. Is what? Is something upon which you recite a bori mine mizonos. It sounds like any mizonos would constitute mine tagima. If that's the case, I must say, then a rice cake, which is not chamesh hamin, but it does get a mizonos, it seems from this Tosefta that a rice cake does require a yeshiva sukkah. And therefore, if you're going on a trip with your family, you cannot pack rice cakes if you're not going to have sukkah available. That's what comes out from this brisa, from this Tosefta. This is a beautiful point that I saw in this wonderful new Sefer that I just bought yesterday. I'm very excited about it. Sefer HaSukkah. It's a two-volume green. It's green cover with a... Here, I have it here. I'll show it to you. It's a two-volume set, a green set. It's a fabulous, incredible encyclopedic, about 1,000 pages or 900 pages on the halachas of Yeshiva Sukkah and building Sukkah. So look what he says over here. Kova su'udasu al tavshilei orez on rice items. Shemavarach molein barim nezonos. Hadar safek ba'alach, it's a safek, im chayv levarech, if you have to say leishiv a sukkah. And therefore you should eat them in a sukkah, but without a bracha. Hu adin certainly so too, binogei leprichios orez, otherwise known in English as rice cake. Those of us who make mizonos on rice cakes, which I think is what we usually do, you should not eat it outside of a sukkah. The problem is you can't really make a bori leishiv a sukkah on rice cakes, and I'll tell you why. Because I sort of pull the wool over your eyes. I read one line without reading through the other line. Could you look at this last line of the Beis Yosef on the screen, please? I have highlighted here the fact that mine tagima are bori mine mizonos. So I said, oh, mine tagima is that which you have to eat in the sukkah, and bori mine mizonos is anything that's mizonos you have to eat in the sukkah. And therefore, rice cakes, which are mizonos, you have to eat in the sukkah. But look what the next line of Beis Yosef says. Umashma, after he reads that Tosefta that you have to have bori mine mizonos, the Beis Yosef specifies, umashma, that mine tagima must be maichal she'osim michameshes haminim, has to be from the five grains. So you see, the Beis Yosef is not taking it as broadly as I suggested, that it's anything that you make mizonos on. He's specifying that it's only things that are from the five grains. According to the Beis Yosef, you wouldn't have to have rice cakes because it's not one of the five grains. But either way, the simple reading of the Tosefta is that anything that's mizonos needs a sukkah, and therefore halacha l'maisa, one should be machmir and not eat rice or rice cakes outside of the sukkah. Good. Okay. We now saw enough background.
The discussion about minei targimima also appears in Arvei Pesachim with respect to what you may or may not eat erev Pesach. And mine tagima comes up in the same discussion, basically. Although there is a Tosfos that finally found it that says it must be, by definition, I guess they didn't have rice. I don't know if they had rice in the days of Tosfos. I mean, it's an Oriental origin. I don't know. He seems to say it takes only chameshes mine take, but mizonos.
So the question that you're raising, Mr. Bergman, is actually a very interesting question that the historians argue, because the Gemara talks about Orez. You've come across the word Orez a dozen times in Shas, Mr. Bergman, right?
Yes.
So the question is our Orez the same as the Orez of the Shas? The word Orez appears in Shas, it appears in Mishnayos, it appears in Talmud, it appears in the Shulchan Aruch, but you're arguing that maybe they didn't have our rice.
No, there's a line in Tosfos, the aim of Varchim Borim in Mithodos, Elo al Chameshis Minim. It's a one line out of context, but the head note is Mine Tagima in Arvei Psochim. Maybe it's not a sushel, but they also have a very famous discussion. What is filling? It's not Basar. And then they send you to Sukkah also in Yuma. They send you to the same place.
There's a big machlokas what our rice is. Is the word that we use nowadays in modern Hebrew, rice, meaning Orez, is that the same as the Orez that's referred to in Shas? Big question, but I don't know enough about it.
Okay, excuse me.
Okay, let's jump now to the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, this is the Shulchan Aruch of what you have to eat in the Sukkah. We'll go through a few points and then we'll make some tzidkum in each of these lines. Ochlim v'shos tem yishen v'sukkah kol shiva, v'im b'yom v'im b'layla. You have to eat, sleep, and the Sukkah all 7 days, day and night. That means if you want to take a nap, I find that this is one of the hardest halachas. Because if you want to take a nap on a yantiv afternoon after a big yantiv meal, so it is explicit in the Shulchan Aruch that you have to do so in the Sukkah. So sometimes you say at night you're pater because at night a husband doesn't have to be, his wife doesn't have to be slept out. So there's a cooler not to sleep in Sukkah at night. At night it's dangerous. At night it's cold. But during the day, when anyway a person often sleeps alone and it's not too cold and it's not too dangerous, there's very little leniency, if any, in fact, to sleep outside of a Sukkah, which is there's a whole shaila the post can discuss what happens if you fall asleep in the base medrash. And that's just how you always take a nap. You fall asleep in the base medrash or during the rabbi's speech. During the rabbi gives a shiur, the rabbi gives a speech. I could, I'll throw a little, you have to give me something on Sukkot to throw at people who fall asleep during my speeches so that they don't chasen. I don't want to be nishal in Lifnei Iver to make, to cause people to sleep outside of the Sukkah on Sukkot. So I'll ask the shul to sponsor some, some hard candies.
How about pixie
rock
dust?
Candy.
Pixie dust. I put you to sleep. Peter Pan.
Okay, so after Shulchan Aruch says that you have to eat and sleep in a sukkah, aval mutar le'achol achilas arai chutz le'sukkah. But an achilas arai, of course, as we know, you can eat outside of a sukkah. What's arai? Kibetza of pas, right? So kizayis, you're allowed to eat outside of a sukkah. So if you want to eat two Oreo cookies outside of a sukkah, if you go on a trip, you want to eat two Oreo cookies, it's just about a kizayis, but it's not yet a kibetza, I would venture to say. And you could take two Oreo cookies on your trip and make a mazonos and make an alamechia because it's a kizayis, but it's probably not a kibetza, so you'd be able to eat it outside of the sukkah. Fine. Umutar lishtos yayin, of course, mayim v'yayin v'lechol peros, and l'chayi paskins afil kavah alayhu. He passes like the opinion, like most of the opinions said, that even if you are kaveh on fruit, you're allowed to eat it outside of the sukkah. Fine. Finally, concludes the Shulchan Aruch. Umisha yach mel atzma v'lo yishtech lis the sukkah afilu mayim. If you're so careful that you're going to try not even to drink your water outside the sukkah, harei zeh mishubach. So I actually had a friend going back a long time. He's actually a chashuv yid now. He's actually a Reb David Feinstein's right-hand man. He's a person that that when I want to hear what Reb David Feinstein paskins, I call him and he gets the shayla to Reb David. When we were younger, I remember him telling me that he was makbid not to brush his teeth outside of the sukkah because of the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not sure if that's what the Shulchan Aruch really requires, but he wanted to be so careful not to drink outside of his sukkah. He had a sukkah right on his back porch, so it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like he had to even walk outside into his backyard. It was literally on his deck. But I remember feeling very bad. I grew up, Baruch Hashem, in a wonderful block in Flatbush. My father, who's with, on the shir right now, had a wonderful sukkah in our backyard. And I was able to, whenever I had any snacks, go to the sukkah. Then when I lived in Washington Heights, and I was on the sixth floor of an apartment building, and I had to walk, an apartment building didn't even have a sukkah, I had to walk 2.5 blocks to the YU sukkah, or 3 blocks to the YU sukkah. And it's 11:30 at night, I'm in my pajamas, and I wanted just a cup of water before I go to bed. I always feel bad about this line of the Shulchan Aruch. Somebody, Harez Meshubach, if you eat everything and drink everything in the sukkah, it's just not reasonable living in a 6-foot apartment building 3 blocks from the nearest sukkah. But anyway, if you have a sukkah in your backyard and it's easy enough to get to, it's a wonderful thing to mock me for. But I want to understand, as you see, I have chakira. What's the nature of this chumrah to not eat outside of a sukkah? So you might say it's like any other, sort of a darabon. The concept of so many darabonas is that they're a gzeira, they're a gezer. Don't do this because you might come to do this. So Chachamim saw that it's a mishrubach to make sure you don't eat anything outside the sukkah. Because that your bottom dollar, if you're not even going to drink water outside the sukkah, you're definitely not going to be eating a whole dinner outside of the sukkah. So it's like a gather to be ever on the side of caution, so you don't get caught with anything, any problems. But the British girl says no. This is actually a key of Yeshiva Sukkah. Yeshiva Sukkah is that just like you when you're in your house, you eat everything in your house. So too, you should eat everything in your sukkah. That's what the Brisker Rav says, that it's actually kiyum in the inyan of yeshiva's sukkah, halachically you're not obligated to. But since you're trying to live completely like you live in your house, it's like you have your snacks in your house, you drink your water before you go to sleep in your house, so the sukkah is your house, so you're going to do that in your sukkah as well. That's what the Brisker Rav says, kiyum in yeshiva's sukkah. Yeah, somebody has a question?
Hi, it's Jamie, how are you?
Hi, Jamie, how you doing?
Hashem. So yes, I want to ask you. So you eat everything in your house, and just like you know, so you go into the sukkah, same thing. But what about when you go to a restaurant? You know, you're out of your house, out of your element, in a building. You know, something separate than your house.
So let me ask you a good question. You go into a restaurant. I normally live in my house, but I still go to restaurants. So you say, if I live in a sukkah for the 7 days, but I want to go to a restaurant, that's a good point. But I guess it's defined. The eating of the restaurant is defined as an achila that's part of your life, and therefore you should do it in the sukkah. You're raising a good point. I think your question is better than my answer. In a lot of respects. Okay, now I want to ask you a question. Why does the Shulchan Aruch have to tell us that if you're machmir, it's great? I mean, you don't need Shulchan Aruch to tell you that if you want to be machmir, the halacha is that it's mutter. If you want to be from, you could do things that are mutter. Let me rephrase that. If you don't want to do things that are mutter, so you're welcome to do things that are mutter. What is the Shulchan Aruch teaching you that harayza meshubach? If you don't have to do it, and you're not obligated to do it, so what's so frum about being careful about it nevertheless?
Look at this very interesting sukkah, we have a concept of being a head yoke. If you keep a mitzvah sukkah when you don't have to because of inclemency.
Oh, very good. So you're raising an added dimension that sukkah uniquely has, right? So let's say it's raining, so you're bedavka not supposed to eat in a sukkah when it's raining, right? You might think, just like it's raining, you're not supposed to eat in a sukkah, so too something that, like water, you're not supposed to eat in a sukkah. The only people who don't hold like that are the Chabad. Chabad, when it's raining, they eat in the sukkah with even greater excitement. That's the Chavmin and Chabad. So the Be'er Halacha says a little bit differently than what you suggested, Mr. Berman. You suggested that it has to say that you're allowed to eat in the sukkah, you're not considered a hedyot. So the Be'er Halacha says no. It's telling you that it's not really... Let me phrase that. Achaz, afil tamad chacham, im rotzeh shalol lahachmer al atmo b'kach rashai, v'lo hevi k'mish t'enem adatik b'mitzos. He quotes the Ran. The Ran says, he's not exactly answering the question I just mentioned. The Ran is making a different point. The Ran is saying, you should know. When we talk about chumras, you know, some people, if you're really a shamai, if you're a brisker, you're going to be machmir, right? So the Ran is telling us that even if you're a brisker, even if you're always machmir and everything, if you make on this, that doesn't mean you're not the nadik of mitzvahs. You keep chalav Yisrael, my father corrects me, chalav Yisrael. You keep pas Yisrael. You only eat certain shchitas. You don't hold from the Erev. You like a chumra collector. You know those people that type, you're the chumra collectors? So you're a chumra collector. So does that mean you also have to follow this and not even drink outside of a sukkah? Says the Ran, no. Even if you're a chumra collector and you're very careful in all other areas of Torah, to always be machmir and everything, This is still fine. You can still eat, drink water outside of the sukkah. Interesting point of the Ran. Let's continue with the Shulchan Aruch. Just the Be'er Halacha comes on the Shulchan Aruch. Now, let's focus on one point that we mentioned earlier. The Shulchan Aruch said, they're allowed to eat an achilas arai outside of the sukkah. Now, why are you allowed to eat an achilas arai outside of the sukkah? Let me present the Hakira. Maybe the reason why you're allowed to eat achilas arai outside of your sukkah is because what's the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah? Shavuot Yom Teshuvu Pasukos, Yeshiva. And if it's a kviyastika thing, and kviyastika experience, and kviyastika achila, that's a yeshiva, that's teshuva. But if you have an achilas arai, that's not a yeshiva. A snack is not going to teshuva basukas. And therefore, achilas arai doesn't have to be eaten in a sukkah. That's how I might have learned the heter to eat an achilas arai outside of a sukkah. It's not yeshiva. It's not called yeshiva. Having a Snickers bar, having an apple, or maybe even a yogurt, that's not called living. That's not dwelling. That's what I would have thought. The Rita Eshterberg says, you know why, this goes back to what Jamie, a friend, mentioned a few moments ago, you know why you're allowed to eat achilas arai outside of sukkah? Because just like you have snacks outside of your home, we don't say, if you're having a peach, you should be eating it in your house. No, people don't live like that. They eat a peach while they're driving to work, or they eat a peach at their desk at work, or they eat a peach while they're sitting in the park. So therefore, we're not going to be worried about something that's only an achilas arai, because even from your house, you are willing to eat outside your house. So zelachash b'chayim b'sukkah achilas arai is not significant that why in sukkah, because the apet beisam masi shalachal arachas lebeisam. So it's a fascinating svar the Mishabur is being mechadish. I would not have thought that that's pshat. I would have thought pshat in the heter of achilas arai chutz l'sukkah is because not kol teshvu. And says the Mishabur, no, that's not the lamas. Achilas arai is mutter because it is teshvu, meaning it is living in my house in the normal way. The way I normally live in my house is that I eat fruits outside of my house. And therefore, the way I'm living in my sukkah is the same way I'm living in my house, which is only the real main meals, the snacks that you normally eat outside my house, and that's going to be permitted.
So you were just mentioning about a snack. So some people also, like, you know, if they're getting like a slice of pizza or something and they're driving in their car, is that, would that count, or that's too much already?
So that is this. So halacha defines a snack. A snack is defined in halacha by kibitza of mezonos. So therefore, I believe a pizza is of kibitza, is definitely the size of a kibitza, and right. One slice of pizza, therefore, yes, have to be eaten in a sukkah. It's important to realize that when we talk about mezonos, we're talking even about, even if it's not pasta b'kissin, like pizza, even if it's not cake, even if it's oatmeal, or porridge, or farina, or wheatina, or Cheerios, or Wheaties, or Raisin Bran, all those things that are not pasta b'kissin, they are still mezonos, chameshes mine dagan, and a kibetza of it has to be eaten in the sukkah. So for example, if you have a big bowl of Cheerios, it must be eaten in a sukkah. There's no kula whatsoever. It's chayev, absolutely chayev to eat it in the sukkah. Okay, let's go back to our, I'll just turn my recorder back on. So we just said that if you're, that the concept of eating arai outside of a sukkah is because that's how you live normally. Normally you eat snacks outside. Based on this, Shlomo Zalman comes out with a whopper of a chumrah. Whopper of a chumrah. I can't even say I understand it. Look at source number six. Can I ask you a question? Let's say you have a snack. You're coming home from work. In your knapsack or in your briefcase, you have an apple to eat. You are down the block. You're walking home. You got off the LIRR. You got off the train. You're down the block from your house. You have the apple in your briefcase. Would you eat the apple while you're walking home four houses from your house? Or would you just say, I'm almost home, and when I get home, I will eat my apple? Well, look at source number six. Says Shlomo Zalman. If you're going to be normal people, says Shlomo Zalman, if you're close enough to your house, you're just going to walk inside to eat. And if that's the case, says Shlomo Zalman, you have to... What's the answer there? 1 second, please. And therefore, says Shlomo Zalman, you need to go into your house in order to have that snack or even have a cup of water. Meaning, Shlomo Zalman is telling us that, says Shlomo Zalman, Hanemtza Samach Lusukasa, Nira Lachar Shayeshla Hikanes Lusukha Aflish Tiaz Mayim. Why? Even if you want to have a cup of water, you have to go in. If you're right near, you still have to listen. Why? Kemesh Derech Bnei Adam, Shabihimatzam Samach Lubesam, Eno Shahasim Chutalo. If you have a cup of water and you're right next to your house, you probably drink it in your house, right? So if you have a cup of water and you're right near your sukkah, you should drink it in your sukkah. Now, I don't buy that. I could very well imagine people who have a cup of lemonade, and have a cup of soda, and they stand on the front lawn, schmoozing with the neighbor. They sit on their front porch, drinking their lemonade. They don't go into the house to eat. So the fact that you're right near your house, therefore... You should go inside your house. So if you're right near your sukkah, you should go inside your sukkah. I don't really buy that. Again, Shlomo Zalman writes that, and he passes this way in Halicha Shlomo. But it's a big chiddush to me.
If you go the other way, right? If you go, so you're leaving your house to go to work. So now I'm two blocks from my house going the other way. I'm not going back to my house to finish drinking my water. I'm going to continue in my car towards work.
Then that's definitely true. You'd be able to have the snacks. Again, we're talking about snacks that are not chayav in a sukkah. Shlomo Zalman was saying that if you have even a cup of water, but you're right in proximity of your house, you would go inside to have your cup of water. So then you have to have even your cup of water inside the sukkah. So now he's saying the chumrah. But you're right. If you're going away, it's definitely permitted. If you're not in the proximity of your house or you're leaving the proximity of your house, you definitely would be permitted to eat a cup of water outside your sukkah. Fine. Now, we come out with another. That was a chumrah, a wild chumrah. Now we're going to have a great kula. If the whole heter, what we just said, for eating achilas arai is because that's what normal people do, they have snacks outside their house, that's why you're allowed to eat an achilas arai outside your house. Well, what about the following? Let's say you want to taste the lakshan kugel. You're in the kitchen and you want to taste the lakshan kugel. Do you have to go to the sukkah to taste the lakshan kugel? No, because it's normal to taste things in your house. So therefore, let me phrase that. If the whole point of going to the sukkah is because we do, you wanted a yeshiva to be in the sukkah, but this isn't a yeshiva. This is not a yeshiva. Having a taste of tasting the food in the kitchen, even if you end up swallowing, you want to taste, you're not sure how much salt and pepper to put in the, how much pepper to put in your shami kugel. I know my father likes his shami kugel with a lot of pepper. So you take a bite of kugel, not enough pepper. Take another bite of kugel, not enough pepper. Take five bites. By that time, you had a kibetza. It seems like it would be mutter if the reason for that, this is the cool of the evening, it'll be mutter to do that if your intent is only to taste it and not actually just to eat it. Fine. That is an important kula that we can have for tonight. Okay, let's go to the next point. Let's talk about a slice of pizza or Cheerios. So the Shulchan Aruch told us, let's talk about oatmeal. If you're kaveh on it, it's not giving us a number. if you're kaveya on oatmeal, you're having oatmeal for breakfast, you're having oatmeal for lunch, you're having noodle kugel for lunch. So if that's the amount that you normally would be kaveya, then you have to eat in a sukkah. How much is that? So the Be'er Halacha points out that it is not dependent on other people. It depends on what you have for lunch. If normally every day you have a small piece of potato, of noodle kugel, of lakshan kugel for lunch, then guess what? When you have breakfast, you have a small bowl of Cheerios. Not a big bowl, small bowl. But for you, that's considered kvius. And therefore, you have to eat in a sukkah. Even though it's not as much as other people would typically eat, for you that is enough, because that's what you are kaveh on, and that obligates you to eat in a sukkah. Fine. Another interesting, a chumah. Fine. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman comes out with another wild chumah that, again, it's I don't think the Minhag Olam is like this, but it's because I'm not for this one, I'd say. Nowadays, I think we all realize, especially with our awareness of proteins and carbs and so many people trying to stay away from carbs. You know, it used to be people have a bread every meal. Three times a day, you have a slice of bread. You have toast for breakfast, you have a slice of bread for lunch, slice of bread for dinner. That was normal eating habits for the past probably, you know, all of human history until a few years ago. But now, people say that the only time of the week that I wash on Motzei Shabbos. During the week for breakfast, I have whatever I have for breakfast. For lunch, I have salad and I have salmon. For dinner, I have chicken and I have, well, rice, so is a shayla, and I have vegetables and I have hamburgers. I don't have bread. So that's what I normally do. My normal kviyas all year long, every lunch, every dinner, doesn't have bread. Maybe doesn't even have carbs. So is that person never going to be chayv to eat a sukkah? He can have his regular meals like he has all year long in his house because he never, I'm sorry, after all, or do we argue, no, his kviyas, it's subjective. And therefore, this person's kviyas is to have a dinner of a grilled chicken and grilled vegetables with some kumquat for dessert. That's his meal. So that's his kviyas. Maybe he does have to eat a sukkah. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, also quoted in Halicha Shlomo, which again was not his writing it, but it was quoted. It's a posthumously collected writings of Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Misha kol yomos hashana, ena nizam mine dagan, right? He doesn't eat carbs. Klal near the chashiva sudasov kriyas gemura v'chayim b'sukkah. If there's a guy who doesn't, he's on a no carb diet, and he only eats proteins and vegetables and fruits, that guy has to have his proteins and vegetables and fruit in a sukkah, because for him that is a kriyas. Fascinating. But even if you're not exactly like that person, you're just a regular guy eating regular eating habits, the following Mishnah Berurah is still something essential to know. And this is something a lot of people don't know, and I think it's imperative that we definitely do have to be machmir for. Do you remember we learned earlier in the beginning of the shiur a number of shitas of what things you do have to eat in the sukkah, what things you don't? One opinion was fruits you have to. One opinion was fruits you have to if you're kaveh. One opinion was said that vasa gvina you have to, but fruits you never have to. And finally, the last opinion, which we paskin, is only mizonos you have to. Says the Mishnah Berurah, it's proper to be machmer at least like that middle shita. Nachum lahachmi milech al basar v'dagim ugvina chutzusaka v'davka b'kfiyas. If you, this is what we usually have, our typical lunches and our typical dinners without any mizonos. Again, you have lunch, you're having a salad with a piece of salmon. For dinner, you have grilled chicken, you have a steak with some potato chip, potato fries, some sweet potato, a salad, a fruit cup. If that's your dinner and that's your lunch, that says the Mishnah Berurah, you should not be eating such a meal out of the sukkah. If you're having a fruit, that's fine. If you're just going to have a yogurt in the middle of the day, that's fine. But if you're having your full meal, the fact that, oh, but I don't have any mizonos, that solves my problems. Mishnah Berurah says, no, that's not a way to do things. If this is a regular meal for you, you should eat it in the sukkah, even if there's no mizonos whatsoever. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says, I didn't take this psak completely lahachm. I didn't go like the most chomotik opinion, like the first opinion of the Beis Yosef, which said that you're eating fruits, you should be machmir for. So that far I didn't go, because look at the Shaar HaTzion and his commentary on the Mishnah Berurah. He says, if you're having peros bekvias, like one of the other shittas in the Rishonah we saw earlier, who's more machmir and says, not only basar gvina, but even peros, if you're kaveh, you should have it in the chum, you should have it in the sukkah, says the Shaar HaTzion, I'm not that machmir. I'm not going to be so machmir that peros bekvias to eat in sukkah. That you must eat that in the sukkah. So if you want to have a big fruit salad in your house, that's fine. If you want to have a big fruit salad out on a trip, that's fine. But once you're having a proper meal with your chicken, meat, salad, and your french fries, that is something that you do have to have, is proper to have in the sukkah. Okay.
What about someone who's on a diet and they have a fruit salad for their lunch?
That's a good question. And that's the regular lunch.
Yeah, a lot of people like that.
So have a fruit salad.
Nowadays, that's a normal thing for some people.
Yeah, you're right, especially on, yeah, certainly diets, necessary, or a regular salad, not a fruit salad, a vegetable salad for lunch, which is the same thing as a fruit salad. If that's your lunch, I would say, if that's your normal lunch, that has a certain level of kefias.
Right, that's what you're saying.
But again, I think that's what the Sharatzin is trying to say here in source number 10, that even though the Chaya Adam is machmir regarding pears bekvias, you're talking about pears bekvias. He says that the other Achronim are making ones, and it's pears, even though it's kvias. And again, that's your question, pears that are kvias. But the Mishnah says you don't have to machmir. The Chaya Adam is machmir, but he says no, the other Achronim are not so machmir.
Okay.
So those are the halachas. So just to sum up, what did we learn? We learned there are four different shitas of what you are allowed to eat outside the sukkah. We learned that rice, maybe rice cakes, you should make sure to eat rice cakes in the sukkah. We learned that you should have your whatever you normally have for meals, even if there's no mezonos, you should eat that in the sukkah. We learned that tasting, you could eat out of the sukkah. And we learned that water, even if you're a really frum guy, frum brisker, you can still have your water outside of the sukkah. Okay, so I want to thank you all for joining, and I'm happy to take any questions. I'll just turn off the recording. And then I'm happy to take any questions. Go, any halachamaisa questions, welcome to. Go ahead.
But when we talk about that, Rav just talked about that you shouldn't be eating a suda that is kavua, even though it doesn't have zonos. You shouldn't be eating that outside of the sukkah. Is that true, even though you're only eating this type of suda because it's sukkahs, and therefore you're basically having a, let's call it a lighter meal than usual because you can't have the mezonos?
I mean, normally you would have a piece of cake with your meal.
Right, normally I'd have a piece of cake, I'd perhaps have some crackers, but instead, because it's sukkahs and I can't have the crackers, I'm going to have salad.
So that sounds like it's not a kvias to me. Oh, but you're saying this is my lunch. You're saying this is
going to
be my lunch.
This is my kavua. I'm going to work. This is my lunch. Okay, it's not this year. It's going to be last year. I'm going to work. It's my lunch. Okay, but normally I would bring along crackers, or I would bring along a pita, or I would bring along something, because that would be my normal suda. But because it's sukkahs, I know I can't do that because it's mezonos. So therefore, I go ahead and I don't bring that. Instead, I bring an extra slight pepper.
Is that not a kvias? I would say that the Mishnah Berurah says, if this is your kvias, if this is your lunch, then if it's a lunch, then you should be machmir kavli. No, I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Because then the whole point is you're trying to do an achilas arai. You're asking a very practical question. I'm not sure what the chum of the Mishnah Berurah would say. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Certainly, if it would be just a salad, that would be fine. If you have a grilled chicken salad, then you'd have the question. Then you'd have this question. Right. But I think if it would be just a plain salad, vegetables or fruit salad for that matter, I think that would be totally fine. Yeah, but Mr. Briz, Mako.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.